Welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast, the photo imaging industry's leading news source. Here's your host, Gary Peugeot.
The Dead Pixel Society podcast is brought to you by Media Clip, Advertech Printing, and IP Labs.
Hello again and welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. I'm your host, Gary Peugeot, and today we're joined by Keith Barraclough. He's the CTO and CPO of Zenfolio. Hi, Keith. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Gary. Really good to see you.
So, Keith, for the five people who are tuning in who don't know who Zenfolio is, can you give us a quick rundown on Zenfolio, the platform?
Well, Zenfolio, the platform, and Zenfolio, the company, now actually subtly different. Okay. So we actually have two brands. Mm-hmm. We have Format. So we have a platform under that brand, which is geared towards photographers and creative professionals and the creation of their portfolios. Mm-hmm. And very much in the arena of creatives who want to share their work in a beautiful fashion. Mm-hmm. with prospects, often in more of a B2B type of environment.
Sure.
And then we have Zenfolio, and Zenfolio geared towards photographers and geared towards photographers that often have a lot of volume, who have very specific genres that they go and shoot, and really a platform that's, you know, sometimes called an all-in-one platform these days. Mm-hmm. The platform has the website, it has client galleries, it has commerce, and it has all the CRM functions that a photographer needs in order to maintain their business, run their business effectively with a growing client base.
And I remember when Zenfolio came out, it was sort of like the beauty queen of galleries. That was sort of the, selling point. Was it was just beautiful galleries. Then you've added on these business functions along the
right.
way.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one of the things that differentiates us is the focus on adding workflow and mm-hmm. helping photographers be more efficient in the way they can run their business. You know, I think the phrase we like to use is less time at the computer, less time on their mobile phone, even more important today, more time behind the lens, mm-hmm. and then more time being creative and helping them grow their business that way.
How have you seen the adoption of like the CRM type stuff? Because that seems to be like that's sort of the area that photographers struggle with the most. They didn't get into photography to do email campaigns,
right?
Or invoice or do any of that stuff. They did it.
What a great question. I mean, talk about timing as well. Here we are coming off the back of, you know, the biggest selling season with Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and everything else. Our photographers want to send out emails, promotions, everything to re-engage that base that they may have done an early shoot with, or they may be, you know, going back to people they did a shoot with a year ago and trying to get them to, you know, sell more product. I mean, let's be honest. And, you know, building campaign management, building all the ways that they can offer and entice and engage and bundle products is a big, big part of what we do now. And, you know, that the expectation on that is going up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously very specific products that generate, you know, CRM at, you know, significant volumes.
Sure.
But for the majority of our base, what we have, you know, in dealing with contact management, email management, campaigns, coupons, mm-hmm. you name it, and lots of branding around that, that's a big part of what we do now.
Because the reality is that, you know, the experience their customers, right? The photographers' customers, that's kind of what they're expecting now, right? In this e-commerce age, the standard is being set by Amazon and all these other service providers who know how to run a campaign, know how to anticipate need and all this stuff. That's what the consumer is expecting. So to get a poorly formatted, you know, email that doesn't look right on a mobile phone is not going to cut it today.
No, and you know what, Gary, you hit the nail on the head, right? I mean, you know, it's obvious when you stop and think about it, everything's about the mobile phone from the mm-hmm. consumption point of view. So, you know, when we look at the metrics of, mm-hmm. of how we sell and what we sell, the amount that we sell through Apple Pay and, you know, all of these things that just are basically consumers are consuming on the phone.
Right.
And that was the big change when Zenfolio went back and rebuilt the platform, and we started that, you know, a number of years ago, was a mobile first design. You know, so mobile first from the end consumer perspective, mobile first from the photographer. And that sort of really dovetails into why we've been doing the things we're doing with workflow now, where we want the photographer not only to deliver to the mobile phone, but leverage the mobile phone as part of their everyday working environment. They have to be able to run their business from wherever they are. You know, that basically means the phone. You know, and that's a big part now of where the evolution of Zenfolio is going, and the evolution of format as well, where we can help the photographer or the creative professional interface with their business through their phone.
Can they actually run their entire business from the phone? Do they even need a laptop? And is that are you actually just, are you spinning me, or is this actually possible?
I'm not spinning you. I'm not telling you that you don't need a laptop do some of the more complex functions, but the more timely functions are absolutely driven by the phone now. And and you know, that gets to, you know, their end customer interaction. And I think this is one of, you know, as we sort of talk a little bit more about where things are going with the technology stack and the workflow, that's where AI actually starts to play a part in helping them do more from their phone, because they're being assisted in the workflow scenario. But you know, there's still a lot of design and quality, but there's only so much you can look at on a, you know, a 3-inch screen.
You can actually hide a lot of things.
You can pinch it into a point to try and check that the eyelashes look good in the shot. But there's a reality of when you actually want a 4K monitor and you want, an 8K monitor in some people's cases these days, and you want to be able to see it, you know, on a big piece of glass.
So recently, you were at the Visual First conference in San Francisco. Actually, I saw you there, and I said, hey, when are you going to have me on the podcast again? I said, Keith, let's have you booked. And then later that day, you guys won one of the awards for Best Business.
That's right.
Potential, which is kind of interesting, because this is your second award, but it wasn't in that category, correct? Or was it?
No, this is we won this award 2 years in a row. Okay. So we came to Visual First last year with Photo Refine, which is basically an AI machine learning solution for image management, culling, sorting, grouping, you know, essentially a high performance work tool for people that are shooting portraits, weddings, events, and allowing them to sort their images out really quickly on their laptop and then upload them into Zenfolio service. That was, you know, that was what we won for last year. And we would just bring that to market, you know, 5 million plus images later. It's been a great product for us. We've, you know, we're very happy with what it's done. It can go an awful lot further, but it's been a great product, and has lived up to its title of Best Business Potential last year. This year, we came to the show and showed the first part of our AI site building suite that we've recently been talking about, and that is really we call this smart site, it really is starting to leverage some of the LLM solutions and other machine learning capabilities that are out there. So machine vision and other things, to start to be able to create sites using AI. And
what does that even mean? I mean, you know, we threw out the words machine learning, AI, and other techno babble. And I think you and I kind of know what it is, but for the listener, how is that? What is that advantage over than just like selecting a nice, beautiful template?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And still, you know, selecting a nice, beautiful template is something that you can't totally get away from, because the human design factor is really important.
Right.
However, being able to effectively create a set of personalized templates from you to start with, is something that's it's less limiting, right? So the reason that AI is interesting in the case of site building, at least initially, and there's a, as you can imagine, there's a roadmap of where all these things can go, is helping that photographer or creative professional get to a place where they can understand the capabilities of site building. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not easy to come into a product and understand the way you can deliver a beautiful site unless there's something to assist you. Mm-hmm. And that's really what AI is doing. So without getting into techno babble, we're really at the point of going, look, tell us a bit about what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll build you a bunch of sites. Mm-hmm. And you can tell us if you like any of these sites. And then from there on, we can iterate and help you design the best possible expression for your work, right? Mm-hmm. And without having to suddenly be looking at a blank piece of paper and going, you know, what do I want to lay down on it? Mm-hmm. Or looking at a template that has a bunch of Greek in it and nothing relating to you, mm-hmm. we go, look, we know a bit about what you do. Mm-hmm. You tell us more. We can actually help you fill mm-hmm. this out.
So is it looking at the photographer's portfolio and saying, this is the kind of stuff this person does? This person does a lot of child shoots and a lot of infant or newborn. So it's going to be that skew.
It's that skew. So right now there's always this fine line, and we can talk about privacy as well, which is obviously a huge issue that sits alongside some of this AI work. But it's basically asking primary shoot type, asking secondary shoot types, asking you a little bit of information, and then giving you some options.
Sure.
Then as you go into the product, we know more about you. We can offer at any time to help you redesign the way your galleries look, these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So right at the moment, the very first thing we did was we said, look, there's a place where there's a hard thing to do.
Right.
The hard thing to do right now is on a mobile device.
Right.
Show an end user who's coming to try and understand what our product is and what we can do for them. Mm-hmm. Show them examples that are relevant to them. Mm-hmm. And rather than just going, hey, just pick from one of these templates, it's tell us a bit about you. And we'll build you a couple of templates, effectively templates. We're going to build you a couple of custom sites. Mm-hmm. What information we've got about you, then you can drop into the product and you can start editing to your heart's content. And that's really the value proposition here is, you know, it's the show me function.
Right.
We can describe it all we want, but what's really compelling is if we show them what it really looks like. And it's hard to do that on a mobile device coming back from our
And the other thing question I have is, let's say, for example, because a lot of photographers are seasonal, right? They have, you know, summer is wedding season and graduations, and they may do family sittings in the fall and in holiday season. Can they have multiple versions for seasonality?
That's absolutely one of the things that's interesting for us is, how does the site change over time?
Right, exactly.
So now you get into this next sort of phase of where this goes. Mm. The bit that we brought to the table that we thought was really interesting was we have a way to describe the way the website is built. Mm-hmm. And without getting into, again, in too much into the technical weeds of this, we have a way of telling the LLMs, the AI solutions out there, how to build a site with Zenfolio.
Right.
But it is totally compatible with all our editing tools.
Okay.
So what it means is that any time AI can assist in building, but then the photographer can take over and decide where they want to go from there.
Right.
Well, now take that to your question. Okay. Build me a winter version of my site. Build me a summer version of my site.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's now let's take that. Build me an optimized market site. Mm-hmm. A particular market that I service.
Right.
I can have multiple. All of these things that would be such a time sink to maintain
Right.
become possible.
Right.
And that's really when you really get to the nut of why this is important, it's right. that there's an assistant that can build you variants that would take you so much time to do, but you have them done in your style under your control, but being managed and maintained in an automated fashion.
Now, you guys have launched the AI stuff a while back, and you know, there's been a lot of, it's funny because since this kind of came out, especially with the generative AI stuff, which is not what we're talking about, but it's just sort of that, it sort of put this.
We are talking about generative AI. We're using generative AI to do this.
Yeah, but you're not.
We're not manipulating images,
which is most people think about, right? Yeah, but no, you are, because you're creating things, right? So, but my point is there's almost like this fear in the media, it's taking over, whatever. I would hope your photographer customers would look at this as an advantage, because it's just another tool, just like Photoshop was a tool and Adobe Premiere is a tool. It's a tool you can use to create the efficiencies that will help you do the things you need to be doing to grow your business. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to that phrase I used at the beginning, right? We're there to try and help that get all the other stuff done so they can stay behind the lens. And they can take their craft and they can go and, you know, enjoy and hopefully, you know, grow their business. There aren't many photographers that don't really enjoy their craft. You know, that's right. The reason they're doing what they do. They do not enjoy sending out invoices and, you know, mailing customers about offers and things like that.
I had a friend of mine who was a kind of a weekend warrior portrait photographer. And he said to me once, nothing can kill your joy of photography faster than having a photography business. Just for the reason you said, it wasn't the shooting side of it. It was the invoicing, chasing customers and, you know, all that fun stuff.
I think that there's a lot of, you know, to sort of even take that to another level, there's a lot of small business owners that will say there's nothing really ruins having a business like having to maintain a website. So, you know,
exactly,
you know, and
no, I've got to rebuild my company side. I got to rebuild it. It's something I dread. So let's talk a little bit about something you brought up earlier, which was the privacy side of it.
Yeah.
Obviously with a machine learning tool, it's looking at stuff. It's looking at images. It's looking at data. How are you protecting the privacy of that information?
That's a continuum of what we have to do, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we're only using technology where we're either totally anonymized with a particular provider, or we're in control totally of what is happening to a particular piece of content.
Okay.
So examples of that are PhotoRefine was built from the ground up with privacy in mind.
Right.
So the images are processed on the photographer's machine. Any information about those images stays, you know, it's the same as being on the SD card, right? It's right there. It's in the photographer's domain. And then it is uploaded to our service where it's totally private as well. It is not going out to a third party service where that data in any way could be leveraged for other reasons.
So, yeah, because that's, I think that's what a concern specifically photographers have, is they don't want their images to be used in a generative AI database to be create images on the fly. You know, there's some very deep concerns about that, because those images, they have to learn from something, right? And they don't want theirs to be part of
that. Absolutely. And you know, there's things we do to ensure that our photographers are protected. Obviously, private galleries is the most protected way. You know, when we look for nefarious bots and things like that as well. But at the end of the day, when we're applying AI, we're doing it in a way that is with privacy first in mind.
Right.
That's the key. In the case of our site building and the smart site, any information that is being provided to a large language model solution like Anthropic or OpenAI or any of the other solutions, there is no personal data that's provided there. And what we're doing is we're saying, given these set of attributes, build a design of a site, give it back to us in our language. So we say, here's our language, use this language, build a design of a site, give it back to us. And then we present that to the photographer.
So theoretically, could a photographer go to some of these tools directly and try and build this stuff themselves?
That's hard.
I'm just curious because, I mean, you know, it's like you're leveraging AI tools that are in a lot of ways readily available. But like you said, there's a skill to manipulate the AI to get.
There's a lot more to it than just, hey, build me a site. Go scan the web. You'll find people that will, you know, say, yeah, we'll build you a WordPress site with AI. Okay, great. You get some site. It won't take into account the type of media and all these other important things. But more importantly, is it maintainable?
Right, exactly.
The bit that's different about us is we have AI as an assistant within Zenfolio.
Right.
Right, as opposed to get AI to go build a site and then, you know, give me a WordPress site or something like that. So the minute the assistants run, it's still there. You can still go and manipulate the gallery, change anything about it. You have the full Zenfolio experience there to continue on.
Right.
And if you want assistance again, if you want to design a winter gallery theme, you know, that as something like that, AI can help you do that, but go and edit it to the way you want it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It continues with this idea of it's an assistant. It's the way I often described it is if you've ever gone through a sort of design process and you've worked with, you know, a really great creative director, they'll come and they'll show you a bunch of concepts of how things go. You know, do you like concept A, concept B, concept C?
Right, yeah.
Right. And then you go, oh, I kind of like B, but it would be nice if it was, you know, slightly more cheerful, you know. You're right. So that process is what my analogy is that turnaround time, 3 days,
yeah,
4 days, and they'll come back with their next set of concepts for you. Think about AI is just going to compress
with a per hour charge for that every single time.
Right. So now it's going to be, hey, I want a theme that's more winter.
Yeah.
Can you show me 3 or 4 options that would fit with my color palette here?
Yeah.
There they are. I like this one, but I would like it to be brighter. Mm. Okay. Now I've got 3 more. You can see what that does to the working time
for
a photographer, where what they want is a beautiful site. But at the end of the day, what really matters is the photography that goes on that beautiful site.
Yeah.
And they want to get back out and do the shooting for, you know, their winter collections for whoever they're doing their shooting for.
But ideally, what really matters is making a buck, hopefully. Yep. What are you seeing now that you've had Photo Refine in the marketplace?
Yeah.
Has there been any data you can possibly share on, like, hey, photographers are making more or they're saving time, so it's getting them to be more? What's the, you know, in your wallet benefit of this as opposed to time savings, just time savings? Well,
good question. And another piece of what we talked about last year was we have a smart pricing engine. Mm-hmm. So we take all the information that we get around, you know, global sales, but more realistically US sales. Sure. And we help a photographer build a price list and get selling as quickly as possible.
Right.
So take into account the type of photography they do. We take into account where they're selling, so their geo, and then we actually will build them price lists as part of our commerce solution. Right. So this was a first. The benefit we have is we've been in business for a while, so we've got some real data.
Right. Well, exactly. That's so
you know, we've been around for, you know, 14, 15 years now. We have data that goes back a while, and we can see pricing trends, and we applied some smart analysis to that and built what we call smart pricing, and that's in our product today. Then obviously we care about Photo Refine, and like I say, you know, we've had thousands, tens of thousands of shoots now that have gone through Photo Refine. Like I say, well north of 5 million images have been processed. That time saving there, you know, we can come up with metrics, but you know, we're talking about hours of time saving.
Sure.
So there are other
culling solutions out there, but it's one of those, in a lot of cases, it's so many extra steps. It's export, call, bring back, go even go through those. It's not integrated into the process.
That's right. And then, you know, the other thing that we're working on is, you know, we're getting better. And I would say, you know, everyone can continue to get better at some of these volume shoot scenarios where, you know, we have surf schools that take tens of thousands of images. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through some of the work we're doing in galleries and helping them organize their photos, they're out selling significant volume of images.
So you have people in the volume space using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But are they really taking that many pictures of the student? Because I've got some friends who are in the volume business. They say if they take more than three pictures, if the photographer takes more than three pictures, I'm going to fire them because they're taking too many pictures.
Well, that's in a very specific volume case, right? Yeah, yeah. But when you look at things like motorsports, mm-hmm. oh yeah, they are shooting crazy numbers.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. For like sports photography, yeah, yeah.
And then they also have a disparate customer base that they have to reach. And, you know, some of the features we put in have made some of those photographers very successful on Zenfolio. Mm-hmm. You know, volume is sort of it covers a lot of ground now, right? Everywhere from team sports all the way through to sports and action photography, mm-hmm. competitions, all the way out to obviously school photography. Mm-hmm. They all have different needs, mm-hmm. but they still, you know, one of the common things is they sure take a lot of photos.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, it's funny because that is one of the things I've seen sort of in the marketplace. You've seen some of the explosion, that growth that's happening. It's in the volume space where you're having a lot of wedding and portrait people are like saying, hey, I can compete in that space now because I've got some of these tools that the big guys used to have exclusively. And some of those tools are available. So it's created a lot of interest in competition in that market.
Right. And so, you know, we've done a lot to deliver on video as well for that space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've been in that for a while, you know, and companion video alongside high volume shoots
is it generating the video or just sucking in what people shoot? Can you create like a highlight reel?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Photo retailers, energize your sales with ShareMe Chat, the proven texting platform. Using chat to text on your website keeps your customers connected and buying. See us at Pro and IPI to find out why dealers using ShareMe Chat close more sales without adding staff. Find out more at shareme.chat.
Not yet, but that's something that's quite...
It's something that might be coming later, maybe, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned.
It's, you know, the way automation and intelligence impacts, mm-hmm. obviously, the workflow. I mean, it's sort of obvious to say it, mm-hmm. but that's been where we've been focused. And, you know, as we develop the various AI components that will help build a site, maintain a site, manage content, deliver content.
Right.
And actually help the photographer maintain the relationship with their clients, mm-hmm. which I think is another place where, let's be realistic, AI has an important part to play.
Sure, absolutely.
They don't have a customer support team of 30 people behind every photographer, but you can help a customer a long way with AI.
Sure.
Those are the pieces that make a difference to the type of photographer that Zenfolio mm-hmm. format support today.
And yet, I mean, again, I don't monitor, you know, what you're charging, but you're not charging a crazy amount of money for all this technology.
No, we aren't. I mean, at the end of the day, we want our photographers to sell more.
Right.
We want them to be successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they sell more, we obviously benefit from that in increased sales through commerce. And for us, it's not about trying to take some exorbitant fee up front. Mm-hmm. We want them to be successful, right? That's the only way this type of business grows.
So one of the things that everyone's questioning sort of in the portrait world is, you know, kind of what's happening in terms of, you know, the economy and some of the concerns people have and how, you know, weddings are changing. People are downsizing weddings. There's not the big wedding parties. How is that affecting your business, sort of that change in sort of the portrait culture?
Yeah, that is it's a good question. We've been watching the wedding market. It is changing some. The tie-in to more social benefits, right, that come with the wedding, right? So, you know, people want to leverage social channels to share more what's going on with their whole event, right? From beginning to end. So it's, you know, a lot more to do with everything from, you know, the engagement shoot all the way through, you know, probably past the honeymoon and goodness knows where.
Yeah, exactly.
So the idea of the life cycle of some major life event has changed. And that's one piece, I think, that's different too. It's not just all about the photo album that ends up on the coffee table somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's a different experience now that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And video is an important part of that. And that's why we focused on it. You know, the number of weddings that are coming in with drone footage and things like that. I, you know, it's just different. Right.
Yeah.
And so that idea of how we package that up and help them provide, you know, help the photographer provide a sort of the experiential event, I think, is an important part of what we do. You know, it's not that you have to kind of go to the photo gallery that was sent in a link, and then you have to go to some other third-party file sharing service to see some video somewhere. And it's like we've spent a fair amount of time thinking about how that at least is a cohesive gallery experience.
Right.
I think there's more to go there for sure. Yeah. How people want to experience their media, when and how they want to share that is a big part of, I think, where some of the opportunity comes around. Portrait, and when we say portrait, you know, at least for life experience portrait, right? As opposed to sitting on a stool with a background portrait.
But even then, I mean, when you talk about, like, when I see people talk about like senior portraits, right?
Yep.
Those are turning into entire branding exercises where kids want to stand next to a car and they want smoke and lasers and flames and all these other kind of things happening, whether they're putting it digitally or actually there. And, you know, we have a very brand, you know, image conscious culture right now, and they want all those things. And again, delivering those in a comprehensive way in a reasonable amount of time in a package that people will hopefully choose to buy things from, that's a right. Big nut to crack.
And look, that you know, without getting into yet another side of AI, it's sort of this tough proposition, right? Are you taking a realistic photo, or are you taking a manipulated image?
Right.
But, you know, to your point, they want some, you know, hot Mustang behind the, you know, 15-year-old kid that wants the birthday shot, and they don't. So they drop it in, you know, every scene can be a green screen now.
Right.
So what, you know, it's sort of like this balance of where photography sits, and, you know, to this whole thing that, you know, you're seeing Adobe and others and Google, right, talk about. It's like, when was the image manipulated? Mm-hmm. And are we actually recording that the image was manipulated?
Right.
And then, you know, we could branch off into that whole discussion around content and where AI sits in that. But to your point, when it starts to become a branding piece, then you're injecting other creative elements that aren't necessarily easily brought to bear without manipulating the image.
And also creating, again, a lot of time and, you know, time in front of the computer or whatever. I mean, I was watching a big discussion about people talking about, you know, the picture with the baseball player with the bat on fire. And it's like, do you actually light the bat on fire, or do you do that digitally? And what's the pros and cons of each, you know? And, you know, and you think, you know, like you said, it's a branding exercise. Then that's commercial photography. It's not portraiture, really.
Right. And you know, then you start crossing back into format, which obviously has a huge base of commercial photographers. And there's this fine line of, again, where AI is manipulating the image versus not. And I, you know, that's a very tough set of questions to, you know, to address, which is, you know, when is it good and when is it bad for the photography industry? And
when is it a photo and when is it an illustration? Right.
Right. Right. Right. So
some would say that train has already left the station. So,
Right. And some of that is left in the hands of the consumer now. I mean, let's you know, look at the tools that are available even on, you know, your average phone for manipulating an image after potentially they've had a professional photography shoot. Yeah. So some of that may not even be in the control of the photographer anymore.
Yeah. And actually what's interesting is that, you know, there's a lot of push and pull between the photographer as an artist, right? Mm-hmm. Who has a vision, has an eye, they've gone to school, they've learned this stuff, and the consumer over what they want and what their creative input is, right? So right. I think there's going to be more and more of that tension.
And social media is the place where a lot of this ends up, right? Yeah, so exactly. It sort of comes back to when you have an event, how you deliver that event and then what happens to that media, you know, and how, you know, whether it's a wedding or a bar mitzvah or a, you know, coming of age party or any of these things, mm-hmm. how that gets used is really an interesting sort of divergence for our industry.
Yeah. Or potential opportunities to exploit. Opportunity. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you can't really shut the door on anything. So where can people go to get more information about Zenfolio format and all the cool stuff you are developing?
Well, obviously we got a format.com and Zenfolio.com. As you sign up for Zenfolio, you'll get exposed to some of the interesting technology we're bringing to bear and helping photographers get basically to having an active site or active galleries as quickly as possible. And with Format, it's a lot of just really helping those commercial photographers reach their audience as quickly and effectively as possible. So you'll find those pieces there on our site. Watch out, we'll be launching a lot of very cool new stuff over the next 3 to 6 months.
We'll be looking forward to seeing more of that. And thank you, Keith, and have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. Read more great stories and sign up for the newsletter at www.thedeadpixelssociety.com.